This morning, or tonight, rather, I would like to direct our attention to a passage in Galatians chapter 6. If you would like to turn in your Bibles there, we'll be looking at the first five verses to get us started in the study tonight. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Paul says here, brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. Some might look at this passage as a sort of contradiction, because in the beginning of the passage, we're exhorted to bear one another's burdens. But then, in verse 5, we're told that each shall bear his own burden. So tonight's lesson is about burdens. What is the situation there in that passage with those two seeming contradictory statements? And then in general, what is this idea of burden bearing, and what should be our understanding and appreciation of it? This is an important lesson to us as Christians because the weight that we sometimes either get ourselves under or find ourselves under in this world can slow us down, and it can even derail us as far as our Christian journey is concerned. So the better we understand the role of burdens in our lives and our duty and responsibility to them, the better prepared we are to keep those things from setting us back in our journey toward heaven. First, what constitutes a burden? What, when you think of the idea of a burden, what comes to mind, at least from the perspective of Scripture? First, it can be, a burden can refer to our physical labors or our physical toils in this life. In Exodus chapter 1 and verse 11, when the Israelites were in Egypt after the new Pharaoh came on the scene, and they began to be concerned about the population of the Israelite people, they sought to make their labor more burdensome. They made their physical labor much more difficult. In fact, the Bible says they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. So a burden can have reference to the physical labors that we are engaged in or that are required of us. That can be our normal day-to-day work, or it could be in a case such as this where the people were subjugated to another people and labor and work was pressed upon them and they were responsible for that. So it can refer to physical labor. It can refer to responsibility for the well-being of other people. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 11, Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me?" So it could be the case that burdens or the responsibilities that fall upon us in order to take care of someone else, not necessarily anything derogatory or negative in nature, but something nonetheless that requires extra effort, time, and attention of us. Parenting could be looked at as a burden. It shouldn't be a negative burden, but I guess sometimes it is. But it's a burden. You are responsible for someone else. It could be taking care of and helping out a parent or a relative that has needs that only you are capable of providing. So it can be responsibilities for the well-being of others. It could also be obligations related to discipleship in Christ. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 30, 28 through 30, where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There is a burden associated with being a child of God and walking the Christian walk in the faith of Jesus Christ. So obligations related to discipleship to Christ could be viewed as a burden. Sometimes financial needs are considered a burden. Anything to do with finances or monetary things, they could be looked at or viewed as a burden. And such is the case in Scripture. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, Paul, indicating and impressing upon the Thessalonian Christians that he had not placed that kind of burden on them, says these words, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toiled night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you." So Paul saw placing a financial responsibility upon that particular congregation as an unnecessary burden, and he sought not to do that. He worked to make sure that he managed that burden himself. So financial needs could be considered a burden. And then a burden could actually be, as is indicated in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the result of our giving into sin. Look at it again. If any man, he's writing to Christians, if any man is overtaken in a trespass, if this Christian becomes entangled in sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It could be the case that I or you could be entangled in sin to the point that we need help getting out of that situation. It would be difficult for us to overcome on our own. So it could be the result of our having given in to sin, put ourselves in a situation where there was a burden to be borne by someone else in helping us. Those are, not exhaustive and conclusive, but a list of the kinds of things in the Bible that are considered burdens. A good question that falls out of that or flows out of that might be, why burdens? Why must we experience burdens in our life? Some might have the idea that everything ought to just be easy and you not have any conflict, you not have any difficulty, you not have a situation where you're responsible to bear weight. So why must we experience burdens? Here are some reasons. Again, not an exhaustive list, but something to get our minds turning to the point that we're trying to get in this lesson. Some burdens are legitimate from responsibility. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, God told Adam and Eve, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it were you taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return." There was a burden placed upon Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to work the garden that he had put under their care. And then even after their having sinned, that burden was intensified. In the sweat of your face, you're going to work this ground. We have to work. We have duties and obligations to provide not only for our own needs, but for the needs of our family. We have responsibilities to the church to provide help in our free will offering to the work of the church in this community. Those things could be considered burdens, but they're not unjust burdens. They're not unfair. They're not extra and above and beyond what we ought to expect. They are legitimate from the responsibilities that we have as individuals in the world God has created and as Christians in the body of Christ. Another reason we bear burdens is that some of them come from misfortune. Things happen in life. We, as Solomon said, time and chance happen to all men. So we're subject to misfortunes. If you were ever of the mind after you obeyed the gospel that you were never going to have any adversity in life and never going to have any difficulty, it probably wasn't long before you had a wake-up call along those lines. Misfortunes happen, and things happen in our life, and Jesus' lives, and Jesus pointed that out on one occasion. Well, I'm sure he pointed it out on more than one, but one comes to mind in particular. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 and 3, where on one occasion the Bible says there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Here are some people who were the subjects of misfortune. They were ones that Pilate had laid hands on. Didn't lay hands on everybody, but some had the misfortune of coming into his sights, and then they were martyred because of this man's evilness. Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the Galileans?" No, it was a rhetorical question, and the answer was no. And then Jesus says, "I tell you nay," Luke 13:3, "except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Sometimes we have to bear the burden of misfortune because of the nature of the world in which we live. Why must we experience burden? Well, there's also the law of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. It's not, it ought not be seem accidental or just coincidental that the same chapter that talks about bearing burdens is also the chapter, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, that talks about the law of sowing and reaping. Paul said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." While there is misfortune in the world, things that happen that burden us that we have little control over, or that are not the result of our actions and behavior, they're just misfortunes. On the other side, there is that law in God's natural order of things that whatever you plant, that's what you're going to get. You reap what you sow. So if I reap foolishness and rebellion in my life, it shouldn't surprise me that I have heavier burdens on my back in life to bear as a result of those choices. Why must we bear burdens? Well, the law of sowing and reaping does not excuse us from burden bearing when we have done things before our God that were not in harmony with his will. And then one other, again, not exhaustive, but one more, just trying to cover all of the categories of these things as best as I can. We must experience burdens on some occasions because the persistence of those things is for our good. There are things God allows to continue. And I think specifically as an example, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 8, where he speaks of a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, but it was a burden nonetheless. It was a weight on him that he felt he would be better able to do his job if God would remove that burden. And Paul says, "Lest I be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And you know that God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. Here is a burden, for whatever reason God determined, that was going to be allowed to persist because God saw it as good. You, Paul, perhaps will learn to depend more on the unmerited favor of God than on your own ability. And the removal of things that you think might make you a better messenger and proclaimer of God. You know, we might get into that situation ourselves where we think, only if I had this, or if only I could do this, or if only I didn't have this problem or struggle with this thing that persists in my life, maybe that burden persists for our good. Maybe there's some lesson that we are supposed to learn and grow by it because of that burden. So there are a number of reasons why we must experience burdens in this life. In the third place tonight, how do we deal with these burdens? The Bible helps us in learning and knowing how to deal with burdens. And probably, no, I would say assuredly, the most important and first step is knowing what kind of burden it is. And so tonight, there are three kinds of burdens that the Bible speaks of. Two of them are highlighted in Galatians chapter 6. There are burdens that I must bear myself. There are burdens that other people are supposed to help me bear. And then there are burdens that God has called upon us to lay on Him because He's the one best suited to bear those burdens and to help us bear them. Let's spend the remainder of our time tonight looking at these three categories or kinds of burdens. I believe this will help us, one, appreciate the monumental task sometimes of dealing with them, but two, to understand and appreciate how we're supposed to deal with them. First, there are burdens that we must bear ourselves. You see that in Galatians chapter 6 in verse 5. Let each one bear his own burden. Well, what kind of burdens should I expect to be bearing myself? Some of these passages we've already looked at, but they apply to these various categories of burdens. First, there are burdens that are common to all men. There are some things that being a Christian do not remove me from the obligation of doing those things. Work. You become a Christian, that doesn't mean you stop working and you let someone else take care of you. You have the continual burden of working and providing for yourself. If you think about 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul said, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you that if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." It is not the church's responsibility. It's not anybody else's responsibility to take care of us when we are capable of taking care of ourselves and we just don't do it. That is a burden and a responsibility that we have to bear ourselves. Another burden that we bear ourselves, or a kind of burden, is the weight of discipleship. We talked about this a little bit already, but think about it a little bit more. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We get confused sometimes on what taking up that cross means. We think we could have the idea that it means, well, just the day-to-day ins and outs, a difficulty and turmoil of life. That's my cross. That's my burden. That's not really what Jesus has in mind here. The cross is a death instrument. And so to every day, daily, we put ourselves to death for him. That can be very burdensome. That can be very toilsome. It can be very heavy. But it's a burden that you and I must bear ourselves. Nobody else can do that for us. You think about Job, how we learn that Job was in the practice of offering sacrifices for his children if perhaps they had sinned against God. Now, during the time Job lived, likely the patriarchal period, that was an appropriate action and behavior. As a father figure of a family, was the spiritual leader of sorts for a family. But we don't live in the patriarchal period today. We live in the Christian age, where each and every one of us who is a Christian is a priest in the kingdom of God, responsible for offering spiritual sacrifices. It's not your parents' responsibility to make spiritual sacrifices for you while you live a life that reflects no spirituality. That's your responsibility, not theirs. It's not your husband's job to be the spiritual for both of you. It's both of your responsibilities. And it's not the wife's responsibility, vice versa. We each must bear some burdens of responsibility for ourselves. And these are a couple. There are some material and there are some spiritual that we are responsible for. The second kind of burdens that we need to consider are the burdens that we need others to help us to bear. The difficulty that we face in life sometimes might best be described as wave upon wave. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation in water where the waves were so frequent that one would hit you, and before you could recover from it to get a breath, there was another. Wave upon wave, where you can't recover quickly enough to reestablish yourself. Life can be like that sometimes, where the difficulties and the challenges or wave upon wave. And you're going to drown if you don't have help dealing with those things. And so appropriately, the Bible recognizes that there are some situations where we need help. Yeah, you're supposed to bear some burdens yourself. But some of them, if you don't have help, you won't survive it. And that's the situation pictured in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Here's an individual, because of their own failings, they've been overcome by sin. Whose fault is that? It's theirs. Who was responsible for making sure that didn't happen? They were. But they are where they are now. And if someone doesn't help them see their wrong and help them clear a path back to a right relationship with God, they're likely not going to get there. I could say, well, you got yourself in that pickle, you get yourself out of it. And sometimes it's easy to say that. But there is some sense in which we have a responsibility to shine a light and help in some way to make it clear for them how to get back. Jude said, on some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Hate the sin, love the sinner, and do what is possible to help a sincere, penitent person recover from the wave upon wave reality of sin. Sometimes we need help recovering, and others are called upon to bear burdens for us. But then there's a third category. These are the burdens that God has called upon us to let him bear. The debilitating anxieties of life are often more than we can handle. And quite frankly, as a person who has studied and who has prepared myself to minister to people, there are situations where I even have to sit and just shake my head and say, I don't know what to do to help. But God is never in that situation. He created us. He knows us. He knows what we need. He knows what's best for us. And thankfully, for you and for me, He has extended a hand to us and has said, some burdens you need to let me take care of those. There are some occasions where you need to turn it over to me and trust me to help get you through that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting, we've already had a whole sermon on this verse, but casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Those burdens that we cannot shoulder ourselves alone, and others can't do it for us. I mean, just think about the grief of loss. There's only so much a friend can do. Friends are helpful and friends are important, but there's only so much they can do to help you get through that. It's just going to take time with you and God to get through those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. Again, Paul wanted this thorn in the flesh removed because it was a hindrance to his ministry. But God says, let me take care of that, Paul. You just work on doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you let me deal with the things that I am capable of dealing with. The debilitating anxieties of life are often more than we and others can bear, and we need to let God help us with those. The difficulty of discipleship sometimes can fall into this category. There are parts of it that we're responsible to bear. There are occasions where others need to help us, but even in this, there are occasions where we need God's help. Psalm chapter 55 and verse 2 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Now think about David and all the psalms that he wrote that depicted him as a victim to those who wanted to destroy him. And in those psalms, he is stating and demonstrating his reliance upon God. In effect, David was casting those cares upon God because being a follower of God and the resistance that he was facing were seemingly more than he could bear. And so he turned to God and he relied on God for that. But here's another one, one final one that falls into this category of burdens that God has called us to let him bear. How about the burden of sin? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, speaking of Jesus, says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. How many people today, outside of the body of Christ, who have never obeyed the gospel, are carrying the weight of the guilt of their transgressions and the consequences and the reaping of what they've sown? They're carrying all of that around on their back, and they're trying to find a place to deposit it, a place where they can just dump that load. But there's nowhere to deposit that. There's no place where you can dump that load except upon God. He's the only one who can bear the weight of the guilt and the consequences of the sins that we have committed. That's why so often it is the case when a person studies the gospel and they come to the realization that they need to be baptized for the remission of their sins, when they go down into the water and they come back out of it, there is a sense of release and relief. Why? Because they know now that weight that they could not get rid of has been taken over by God. the guilt and the consequences of our sin. Only God can bear that. Here are three kinds of burdens. We must bear burdens in this life for all of the reasons and in all of the ways that we have highlighted. Why is a lesson like this so important for us as Christians tonight? Well, we need to make sure that we are bearing the burdens that we're supposed to be bearing. Two, we need to make sure that we are allowing brothers and sisters in Christ to help us bear burdens that they are supposed to be bearing. And thirdly, we need to make sure that we are allowing God to bear the burdens that He has told us to cast upon Him. Rather than allow the burdens to destroy us, you and I need to be open to understanding what this is all about and how we are supposed to be dealing with the weights that fall upon us. I don't wish any misfortune on us, but the reality is we'll face it. I don't wish that any child of God would wander away from the fold of safety into sin, but statistically, it is a reality that happens. It would be advisable for all of us to have the mindset and the expectation that we are going to bear burdens when they come our way and not shuffle them off to someone else. But the reality is, if we don't understand and appreciate these categories or these kinds of burdens, we're likely not to deal with them the way that God wants us to do. And it could be our demise, our downfall, our destruction because we didn't handle them correctly. I hope tonight that this lesson has helped us in some regard to appreciate this reality of life and to know that there's a way to deal with the adversity and difficulty, the burdens of life, if we'll take note of what God has said about it and deal with them accordingly. Maybe you're here and you need to obey the gospel tonight. We would love to help you make that happen. Maybe you are here tonight and you're not really sure what that means. We would love to study with you and help you have a better understanding of what God expects of you. Maybe as a child of God, you've been trying to bear burdens that you ought to allow others to help you bear. Maybe you've been expecting others to bear burdens that you ought to bear. And maybe you've just completely left God out of the picture altogether. I hope tonight that we've been encouraged to examine ourselves, to think about these things, and to make the adjustments that are necessary. If your situation tonight necessitates a public response in any way, we hope you'll come as we sing the song of invitation.